Good morning. We'll be getting started here in just a moment. Good morning, friend.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Good. Welcome to May. May 1st today.
Happy May Day.
It's gonna be May.
May the 4th be with you.
Yes, everybody. Hello, good morning.
So I don't know if you can see, it's kind of hard to tell, but if you were to ask me, is there snow on the ground outside, the answer would be yes. Yes, there is.
Is there really?
Yeah.
I don't have it yet here, thankfully.
Really? Mm-mm. Well, I think Mother Nature is just kind of giving us a little reminder of who's in charge and who's the boss.
Yeah, we're in sprinter, right? Which is spring meets winter. So, but we're thrilled that you're here. Would love to hear from each of you. Andrea, good morning. Is what oils you're using this morning? I'd also love to know, Andy, can I just launch into something real quick?
Get it.
Is that good?
Let's do this.
So just, and first it's him saying, because he often asks me, you know, Tiff, or what's up for you, is I just invite you to think about, I do love a new month, and the beginning, the very end or beginning of a new month, I go through a very simple process that I'll just outline for y'all here. But I'd love for you to take a few minutes today, maybe half an hour, an hour today, within the next 24 hours, and look at your month of April. And I'd love for you to do the following five things, right, as you look at a new month. Number one is the conversation of looking at what were your wins and victories for the month of April, right? And identify that. Were there books that you read, spaces you cleaned up, people that you enrolled, maybe you achieved a new rank in the month of April, or you signed a new, you know, again, had some great signups, enrollments, whatever that might look like, but what were some of your wins and victories personally and in your business for the month of April? Secondly is looking at what was your biggest distraction in the month of April, right? And whether you're like, oh, it's been my clutter, my physical space, or I've been really distracted by a health challenge, or an emotional challenge or a relationship or my technology, I've really been over scrolling type thing, or whatever it might be. But just look at and ask yourself, what was my biggest distraction for the month of April? And then following up to that is asking, what will be my strategy to manage that moving forward? Number three is looking at what was one of your life lessons for the month of April, is asking yourself, what was the month of April teaching me? What is it I became aware of? If you just tune in, again, this is when you might have it come up for you right now while we're here together, but I invite you to take a little reflective time, make a cup of your favorite tea and take that journal and just do some reflection. And then number four and five is moving into this new month. For the month of May, I invite you to think about and decide, what's your number one personal goal for the month of May? That's number four, is personal goal. And similar, number five is, what is your business goal, your doTERRA goal for the month of May as well? And again, your goal might be, well, I want to achieve X. It also might say, hey, I'm going to connect and contact X amount of people or host X amount of classes. Personally, you might say, I'm really going to declutter my space, right? I had a new video go live yesterday on my YouTube channel around cleaning up your clutter and the power of that energy. It's always a great topic all year round, but I specifically, right, as we often see seasons change, I love the feeling of that, is clearing some things out. So that's number five, again, is a business goal, as well as number four is personal. So, yeah. So Shweta's asked me to please repeat. Number one is your wins and victories for April. Number two is your biggest distraction and how you'll manage it moving forward. Number three is your life lesson for the month of April. Number four is your personal goal for the month of May. And number five is your business goal for the month of May. So we're so excited that you're all here. I just love to share that, Andy. I know we talked a lot last week about the power of intention and just being very aware is the conversation. We can technically do any of these exercises any day of the month or day of the year. I just think it's awesome, obviously, as we start a new month to kind of do a little reflection and then get back into clarity about what we want to create.
Thank you so much for that. If there's one thing that I've learned from you, Tiffany, it's just the invitation to step back and get clear on what it is that I'm doing and where I'm going and, you know, stepping out of the busyness and just leveraging the power of intention. It's so, so simple. And so powerful. So love that invitation. Thanks for creating that space.
Yeah. How about for you, my friend? What's kind of percolating or up for you or, you know, what you're thinking about or you're learning or focused on?
So I was actually at the gym with one of our common friends this last week. And we were, the trainer was showing us how to do deadlifts, you know, and use proper form there. And, you know, you have to be really conscientious and mindful of how you do certain movements in weightlifting. And at some point, you know, we kept adding on more and more weights and we doubled it at one point. And then he said, you know, if it doesn't have the potential to hurt you, then it doesn't have the potential to help you.
Whoa.
Huh.
Hello. So, okay. You got to say that one more time for the people in the back, please.
So if it doesn't have the potential to hurt you, it doesn't have the potential to help you.
You guys, Andy Goddard's bringing the truth today.
And it just, it occurred to me, you know, I mean, how many times have we had this conversation about resistance? About fear, about feeling the fear, and ultimately, like we get to create a healthy relationship with fear, with pain, with doing hard things, and getting okay with the fact that anything worth doing is going to be hard. Mm. So I just, I had to stop the workout and go write that down on my phone. If it doesn't have the potential to hurt you, it doesn't have the potential to help you.
Oh, brother, thank you. So here's, I listened to a podcast. I'll email it to you, or we can even maybe find it and drop it in the chat box because you're the techie one of this duo.
Let's try it.
So I listened to a particular podcast three times last week, the same one. And that's pretty rare. I do love podcasts and audibles. I mean, I'm consuming content every day, right? And that's just, anyway, but the fact that I went back to the same one like three times. So there's a guy named Ed Lamette. Do you know Ed Lamette?
I don't.
So you can find him on social pages or his iTunes podcast is The Ed Lamette Show. And he has one that how I really got onto him is because I really love Dr. Joe Dispenza's work and he was one of Ed's guests. And so I listened to their podcast and I've seen him around with a few other friends of mine in the personal development world have talked about him. So anyway, long story short, I'm on his podcast page and I see this podcast titled Turn Your Distractions into Your Success or some phrase about your, that's the name of the podcast is Your Distractions. And I listened to that, Andy, and I was like, obviously, it was so good that I listened to it three full times.
Wow.
And because similar to what you're saying is he talks about the power of how often what he's making a conversation about is a lot of our distractions, right? And the things we're all caught up on. Sometimes we're more passionate about our sports team or about politics or about reality television, the Kardashians, than we might be even sometimes about our own lives. And he's not presenting that as a judgmental way. Some of you might say, well, I'm very politically, that matters to me. I'm very passionate about politics. Or you might say, I'm really passionate about those Seahawks or about those Patriots or whatever. But he just like calls everyone out as whatever your thing is. And he's like, it's not wrong, but realize you're often spending so much time in these distractions when what about your own goals and so forth. But he makes the same correlation about being in the gym is the conversation of sacrifice. And you go to the gym, you don't go to the gym saying, oh, this is going to be comfy and feel great.
Yeah.
Right. Is you're expecting like, hey, I'm going to get worked here a little bit, but that's the point, is because I'm after an outcome and a result. Sometimes, and then combining that talk and what you just said matched with, can I read you guys a C.S. Lewis quote?
Bring it.
Okay, give me 2 seconds to find it. So what he was talking about, so then on Sunday I'm at worship services and this gentleman gives this amazing talk about how often the love of God, and some of you might say universe and so forth, we're sometimes expecting God or our Father, even if I don't, but I'm just going to stay in that because that's the thought process. And I realize all of you can adapt to that, even if it's not your language. But some of us are expecting God to be this like constant, everything is going to be comfortable. Everything's going to be easy. Like we're expecting really God or Father to be more like the grandfather.
Yeah.
Just about like, hey, all the things, but your higher power, however you relate to that, is absolutely invested in your growth. And growth is not always comfortable, but God truly loves you because the willingness to say, we're gonna stretch and grow. So sometimes it's not comfy. And I really appreciated that reminder because a lot of times I do think I have this mindset that I just want God to be like this big comfy grandfather that's like spoiling you 24/7. You come to grandma, grandparents' house, like you can do whatever you want. Versus having some guidelines, you know, so it mindset thing. But you guys, I just want to read this to you from, listen to this. This is from C.S. Lewis's work called The Problem of Pain.
Mm.
He says this, we are not metaphorically, but in very truth, a divine work of art. I believe that about each of you. Something that God is making and therefore something with which he will not be satisfied until it has a certain character. Here again, we come up against what I have called the intolerable compliment. Over a sketch made idly to amuse a child, an artist may not take much trouble. He may be content to let it go, even though it is not exactly as he meant it to be. But over the great picture of his life, the work which he loves, though in a different fashion, as intensely as a man loves a woman or a mother a child, he will take endless trouble and would doubtless thereby give endless trouble to the picture if it were sentient. One can imagine a sentient picture after being rubbed and scraped and recommenced for the 10th time, wishing that it were only a thumbnail sketch whose making was over in a minute. In the same way, it is natural for us to wish that God had designed for us a less glorious and less arduous destiny. But then we are wishing not for more love, but for less.
Dang.
Isn't that so good?
So good.
You guys, that's C.S. Lewis from his work, The Problem of Pain. And this also this quote by Mother Teresa where she's quoted as saying, I know that God wouldn't give me more than I can handle. I just wish he wouldn't trust me so much. It's kind of the awareness. But for all of us, I feel like it's just being aware that to Andy's point, you guys, part of your best self will come from resistance, will come from the struggle, will come from just like at the gym. You don't show up for a workout thinking, oh, this is going to be comfy and easy and so forth. No, you know, like I'm trading some time of sacrifice for a more positive, healthy outcome. Does that have resonance for y'all? If you're here in the chat box or on Facebook Live, is this resonating? Is understanding it isn't just that the universe is picking on you or that God is anything other than loving. It's just realizing that your best self, it's going to require some resistance, struggle. Thank you for putting us on this path today, Mr. Goddard.
Yeah, that reminds me of the movie Shadowlands.
Okay, I haven't seen it. Tell us more about it.
It's about the life of C.S. Lewis, especially the later part and his marriage and I won't give it away, but he meets a woman named Joy, and she ends up getting sick and dying, and he says, I'm gonna get emotional. He says, "You made me so happy. I didn't know I could be so happy. The boy chooses safety, the man chooses suffering. The pain now is part of the happiness then. That's the deal." So it's kind of like the vulnerability conversation, right? Like choosing to show up, choosing to do anything worth doing will have some pain. And that pain is part of the happiness. It's part of the joy of creation and the fulfillment of it all. So that's the deal. That's the formula. Mm.
Mm-hmm. No, listen to that though. The boy chooses safety and the man chooses suffering.
Yeah.
Y'all.
It's getting real in here.
You've been fed today. I know I have. Wow. Thank you for that. That is so, so good.
And I've posted links to the podcast you mentioned and to the quote, the C.S. Lewis quote.
Thank you so much for doing that. I just think those are some great resources for all of us to come back to.
Yeah. And in case you're lacking for any content, hopefully you all know by now that Brené Brown has her own Netflix. Yes. So you no longer have to feel guilty after binge watching on Netflix. You can actually come away a better person. So go get it.
Amen. That's a great, have you seen that yet, Andy?
I haven't watched it yet, but I've heard it's amazeballs.
Yeah, it's really good. If you've ever seen her, you know, the Power of Vulnerability talk that went viral on YouTube is from a TEDx talk she gave. And then this is just even deeper and richer is her Netflix series. And I watched it last weekend or I don't know, somewhere in the last week or two, but really, really good.
Love it.
All right, my friend, where are we going next? You're going to lead this train today.
Well, let's jump into some coaching. So we're here to support you. Raise your hand if you're on Zoom and you want to come on live. We'd love to take questions live. Otherwise, you can just type it in the comment box, the chat box, whatever media you're on, and we'd love to support you.
Yeah, I'd love to hear how we can serve you. Like, what's up for you today? I mean, maybe you're like still like me, like, wow, that was so good. I just need to talk about that for a minute. We are also here to absolutely provide some coaching, some support, whether that's personally or sales or business related, whatever is up for you. We just love curating this space. You guys loving these calls are just been juicy lately. We've been getting a lot of great feedback from y'all. You're welcome to. I'm definitely in my Southern apparently this morning. Y'all, I even have a cute t-shirt that some friends of mine in Nashville gave me that says y'all on it. And it's cute. So, but no, we just love that we're creating this space. And of course, you're welcome to always share it with your friends or in your Facebook groups to attend and join us live or to, of course, catch the recording. But we love creating a space where insights and clearly truth bombs is Brother Goddard is bringing with us today. And yes, good stuff, you guys. So yeah, what's up for you? Just drop in and ask yourself. We'd love to support you.
Seeing some shout outs in the comments. Amy Gregerson broke her foot. And
Amy, girlfriend, we're sending you love.
I know. Facing the resistance. Growing the business. Love, love, love it. This is the arena. Well, while we're waiting for questions to roll in, oh, Susan says she has a question. Let's bring her on live. Susan Richens. Okay.
Hi, sorry to shut up. I'm really not looking great right now.
You're great. Good morning. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Sorry, this question's been ruminating for a couple of weeks in my mind, so I was just going to type. But anyway, so the essence of the question boiled down is that I've been using your app in my business, but my upline that's a little closer to me than you has been heavily pushing an app that she created. Both great apps, both very similar. I was using both separately because yours is amazing as far as the contact management. Sure, I get them enrolled. Anyway, she's just added that feature to her app now. And so I'm really struggling.
Which feature again? Sorry.
Was RIP campaign, basically, as far as contact before they get enrolled. Anyway, I'm struggling now. My downline can't figure out why I'm not using her app instead of your app, because everyone between me and her is promoting hers via emails and text messages. And so my downline feels like I'm trying to run some sort of interference, or that I'm not following the script, so to speak. And I'm kind of struggling, like, where do I sit with this? And am I just using this as an excuse to slow my progress? Or, yeah.
That's a great question. So, I love this conversation of how much do I toe the line and fall in line with, you know, whatever my upline is modeling, and how much do I be my own leader?
Right.
So I guess my question for you is, who's in charge of your business? Sorry, did you answer that?
Yeah, I said me.
Yes, you got it right. That's the correct answer. And I have to believe that that is the main reason most people jump into this business, is because they crave the autonomy that is only available in the world of sales. I don't know many 9-to-5 jobs that give you as much freedom, as much latitude with your schedule, with your approaches, your, you know, who you talk to, how you talk to them. Autonomy is actually a massive motivator. So to ignore that is just ignorant. So I would just come back to those team members and say, you know what? Don't you love that about our business? Don't you love the fact that everyone gets to choose which reference guide they use, which class they teach, which oils they focus on, which, like, the follow-up process? Like, there might be a few key ingredients, like we talk about the cake recipe, right? The pipes doesn't change. But how you implement those pipes, totally up to you. And so I guess I would just say, I would celebrate the fact that those team members of yours are so passionate, and I would inspire them to go out and find what works for them. Because at the end of the day, my experience is the more freedom people feel, the further they go. And so I've seen some leaders who, when they stand up, they say, I make my leaders do this. I tell them they have to do this. And I sit back and I go, the reality in your mind is different from the world that I live in. And right. Like it just doesn't work that way. Like we are not raising automatons, right? We're not in the robot business. We're in the leadership business, and raising leaders is teaching people how to think and how to problem solve for themselves. So anyone who tells you that you have to do it a certain way is trying to sell you something.
Right.
So Tiff, anything you'd add to that?
Well, I'd add amen. What you just said is, and I get it, is there's a, the reality is that there are systems in place, and that if you work the system, they will create success, right? But there's also this balance of allowing people to be who they are and the journey that they're on and the power of their choice. And it's, we want to lead more than we want to manage, ourselves and the people that we get to work with. But to Andy's point, anyone that's like, hey, it has to be this way, only this way, perfectly, it's probably, you know, someone that they want you to his point, they're probably selling you something. So that does not mean that sharing a system, right, or different tools and tips aren't a good thing. It just means we have some awareness to that.
And in case I saw in questions, some people were asking which app you're talking about. And I believe you're talking about the Chloe app, right?
Yeah.
So just in case those of you who are interested in the app that I use, it's called Chloe. You can go to chloeapp.com. It's available on iPhone and Android. Really simple follow-up tool for following up your prospects, your customers, your builders. So great, great question.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Rob.
Easier for sure, right?
Say it again, Tiffany.
I just said it makes the Chloe app makes it easier.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I personally stink at following up, and that app makes it so stupid simple. Like you have to try to trip and fall.
We're not encouraging you want to try to trip and fall, but we're just saying.
Just saying. Love it. Great question. Thanks for asking that, Susan. Okay, we've got a question from Facebook Live. Linda says, tips for restarting business and what to say to people you met 3 years ago and haven't contacted except through a monthly group email. Tiff, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so here's the thing. We have two questions kind of asking the same thing, one from Shell and one from Facebook Live, Linda, who's saying, in essence, kind of how do I restart my business, right? Is that the same? Are we talking about the same question, Andy?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. So number one, Shell, as you're saying, and we just send you so much love. You've been through a major loss with your son and just the time that, you know, grief takes and that it's never complete, right? But there are seasons where it's intense and then seasons where healing happens and so forth. So first of all, just want to acknowledge that. But whether you've had a major thing come up or just life being busy or you've just reignited your passion, this is one of these questions that will surface again and again is like, hey, I'm getting back into my business, right? I'm getting back in, or how do I kind of relaunch or restart and so forth? And I think first and foremost is it matters so much the mindset conversation about this, because we might be tempted to be or to feel and give a lot of then time and attention, and what we give time and attention to gets bigger, right? It's the energy you're saying, I want to fuel this. And so when we're in the conversation of, oh, I'm behind, or gosh, I really kind of fell off the truck here, or I got out of alignment, or it's been forever, I'm not sure, you know, this kind of conversation, I think we want to be really aware of that. It's just like the seasons here that we're experiencing on the earth, is there's just a new season. And it's like, oh, I'm in a new season. And it doesn't mean the previous seasons were wrong or bad, or that they are what they are, right? And it's just choosing to say, okay, mentally, what's going to be my story about it? Because a lot of times from both of your shares, it's really easy to adopt even subconsciously a belief and a thought process and even then a feeling that I'm behind. I'm behind the game. I'm behind. And I don't know about you, but every time I think thoughts like I'm behind or I'm late or I've dropped the ball or gosh, I don't, you know, how do you feel when you think those thoughts? And those thoughts for me produce anxiety type feelings and stress and tension in the body. And so it really matters that you first center yourself to just say, I'm excited for the new season that I'm in. And that some of the story, literally I'd say, write this down and then reread it or what we call your story or affirmations. But things like everything is on perfect schedule. I'm right on time. I'm so grateful for all the lessons I've been learning the last few years. And I'm excited for this new season and my intention. I'm creating value and I'm ready to serve more people. That's really shifting for both of you, is setting that intention. Is I want to serve more people, whether they're your existing enrollments and you want to re-nourish them, right? Or there are people you met, like to Linda's point, that I met, say, 3 years ago and haven't contacted, in whatever it might be, whether it's been how much time, it's just coming back to first and foremost, what's your mindset and your story and your affirmations about it. And it's really, really important that you forgive if needed or let go or tenderly wrap up that last season of life with like, thank you, I learned what I needed to learn and I'm still learning, right? We're never done doing that, but it's like, okay, I've got what I needed to learn from that class, so to speak, and I'm ready to move forward. But it's having the story and back to your purpose. And for both of you and for all of you, your purpose is found in service. So the most that you can come back to saying, I'm here to serve, I'm here to nourish, I'm here to love, I'm here to be the blessing, right? I'm here to be that. That energy will put you in such a great vibration and it will put you in alignment with helping other people. And in terms of specifics, if I was Linda and reaching back out to some individuals that say, sounds like maybe they've still been being nourished through a monthly group email, but perhaps you just talk to, hey, it's a new season for me and I'd love to serve you. And even if that, you don't even have to share, it's a new season for you, you could just reach out, whether individually or via this email or group, and just say, hey, I really want to help take what you want to the next level. How can I best serve you? How can I best support you? What's up for you? And you just start re-nourishing the connection is a great place to start. Those are some of my initial thoughts, Andy, is the mindset and then the moving forward with purpose. But I'm curious, anything you want to add to that when people have kind of felt a season of being in a lull or being shelved or not being engaged?
Yeah, I would give a huge amen to everything you said. I would drop into like the key reason why you've re-engaged. I mean, what is it that has sparked the flame again and share from that space? I mean, some people, like it's honestly an experience with one of the new products, you know, Copaiba. I can't even tell you how many stories I'm hearing of people whose lives are being changed. Yarrow Palm, same story. So like just bringing your enthusiasm to that conversation is what's going to be the most authentic. So in bringing that energy instead of the shame, like if you've shamed yourself for not being engaged for the last couple of years or months, just let that go, forgive yourself and give it love and bring the energy of excitement and, hey, it's spring. I'm in a season of creation and I'm loving it. So that's my share.
Love it. I think sometimes it's just mentally, it's like the past actually doesn't exist.
Right.
Like, can you go touch the past? Like we might have photographs of past, but what all that is real is this present moment.
Yep.
Right. So it's like, okay, not to throw like a mind bending thought your way this morning, but like truly it doesn't exist. It doesn't mean it didn't exist, but in real time right now, it's like you have a new season, you have a new day. right? And it's moving forward in that way versus feeling like, gosh, well, yes, of course, like our choices in the past, our experiences in the past, absolutely, they happen. But what's real right now is a point. The only thing that's real is the present moment. And that's where your point of power is, coming into present, saying, what's my choice now? Where am I moving forward now?
It's a little early in the morning to be so metaphysical.
Well, hey, you took us there first with your big at your gym about nothing. You got to say it again because, see, it's so.
So if it doesn't have the potential to hurt you, it doesn't have the potential to help you.
Oh, that. Oh, and
can I add on to that? So as we were adding weight on to the bar, you know, he was commenting that when you don't have a lot of weight, it's easy to have bad form. You know, you're just kind of throwing a lightweight thing around. But he said this, weight is the cure to everything. In other words, as you add more weight, your body literally has to have its very best form just to get the job done. And I believe it's the same thing in our business, in everything that we do. The gravity of our mission, the importance, the size of our team, literally, it refines us into the leader that we get to be. And so gravity is the cure. It's the resistance, the what stands in the way becomes the way.
Oh, so true. Love it. So Elizabeth's asking, she's saying, Tiff, are you going to do a mindset makeover this year? It's helped me so much in the past. So yeah, I'm pretty sure. Okay, so I'm definitely going to do a mindset makeover this year. It's just going to be later in the year. It's not going to be May. We typically do it in May, but I just did a massive free course the month of March. And so that matched with a couple of projects I'm involved with in May. So yes, if you've been connected to that in the past, you'll hear about that in the Facebook group or the email list. We'll send it out to you. My team, we've been creating a new way to participate in that course and in a way that people can own it for life out of the gate versus paying for it at the end. So we're just kind of thinking through how to make it the most effective. So, but yes, it is coming back. I've done it a couple of years, you guys. It's a fantastic course. And yes, as Elizabeth knows, clearly we typically do this every May, and it being May 1st, I've been getting a lot of messages about it. Are we doing the course? Are we doing the course? And it's coming. We're just tweaking a few things about it. Okay, so she's also asking, in the past, you've mentioned a site where you can connect with people who have similar interests. It's something like it's called meetup.com is that website.
I put a link to it in the comments.
Oh, great. Thanks, Sandy. Okay, so Sue's then asking how to deal with others who tend to talk over you in a one-on-one conversation or group presentation. You can run into these people in family situations, marriages, or business settings. It can be annoying and even take away from the intent of the original conversation or presentation. Is there a way to kindly bring things back or to say this isn't helping, or when you do this, it makes me or those who you're trying to express an idea feel like we don't know enough and somehow you feel like you must be correct? Or add to make the point more clear, and that's not the case. In reality, we're belittled in our own eyes or in the eyes of the group we're in. So Andy, how would you first take that when someone talks over you or is like kind of taking the steering wheel of your group presentation?
I kind of want to just pull up the Brian Regan video of Me Monster. Is that bad?
I think for some humor and some levity, you should post that. We'll address it. But I do think... I don't know if you guys have seen this, but it's a hilarious video called The Me Monster. Worth watching. It's
so, so good. Hey, Leo. Yeah? Oh, there we go. Talk to me. You want to say hi to Tiffany?
Hi, Leo. How you doing, buddy?
Okay, ignore that first link. That didn't work.
Okay.
Try that one. Did that? Yeah, all attendees. So
You having a good day today, Leo?
Do you want to play upstairs?
You want to go play?
Scooter?
Oh, scooter time.
So I think we've all met the meme monster. Someone who's like watching your lips, you know, just waiting for you to finish so that they can talk about themselves, right? Or just talk, just to share their wisdom and be that voice.
That is my house.
Okay, go help them build it, okay? So I guess the first acknowledgement is there's a reason that they're doing that. There's a hole that they're trying to fill. So someone who can't sit in silence in a conversation, they're probably, they're lacking self-confidence, they're lacking self-love, they're lacking the inner peace that can be okay with others' ideas, others' opinions, others even taking the mic and having a floor. So we can bring resistance to that conversation, and we can try to change them with, you know, with force or with judgment or, you know, like harsh feedback. My experience is that never works. What does work is loving people exactly the way they are. And so, it's funny how having the opposite reaction is sometimes the most powerful thing. So the natural instinct when someone is a meme monster and they want to talk over the top is to try to fight back by talking over the top of them. And it just becomes this like crazy, like, you know, battle. But imagine for a moment that someone is talking over the top of people. What if you were to just like get totally present to them and even lean into them and maybe even like touch their shoulder or their arm while they're talking? And just the fact that you get fully and completely present to them. Imagine that, how that changes the dynamic. What could that do for them if you give them that gift of being just sending like massive love and acceptance and grace, right? Like what do you think might happen? My experience is that love changes everything, and people receive that love and that creates a space for them to change. So the same thing applies to like kids who are clingy. Like they just want to like get up in your space and just get hugged on. The natural instinct is to push them away. But if instead, if you just lean into that, like if you just hug them extra hard and extra long, guess what happens? That unmet need gets filled, and when people's cups are full, suddenly they become a different person. So Elizabeth asks, how does that apply in class? You can do that in class. You can actually get down in their space and you can just get fully present to them. And I'm not talking about like in their face, but just show them that you're being totally present to them. Because, you know, there's a way to do this that's actually kind of annoying, and that's not what I'm talking about. But just giving people that gift of presence, and I've been blown away how that changes everything. Tiff?
I love it. So I want to address it from a personal level and then a class or presentation type situation. I think that to Andy's point, a lot of times it is exactly, and it doesn't mean it's not annoying, because it is at times, right? Or it doesn't mean it doesn't trigger your feelings. I think what comes up for a lot of us is the potential to feel less than, or to feel like that person doesn't value me, or they're diminishing me, or in your language, belittling me. you're not being belittled. You're not being, don't buy the mental story. Like they might just either, sometimes they're not aware, right? Or even if they are aware, but it has nothing to do with your worth. So I just think we need to pull the worth or value conversation, pull that out of it. Is I do think if it's a personal relationship, like if Andy and I in our friendship, we've been friends for 7 years now, and if that was happening, I would say something to the effect, but with a lot of love, I'd just say, hey, that might not be something you're aware of, but could I just would love to share and connect, and I want to hear you out too. So if it's okay, I'm going to hear you out. And then if it's all right, I'd love some time for me just to be able to share without any interruption, if that works for you. You know, or some way that you communicate it in with, again, the energy versus, to his point, not making them wrong about it, but just saying, making them aware or making a request, right? At times, I think that is, there is a conversation for that, but it's not ever using the language you this or you that is, could I have this experience with you? And I'm going to make this request, right? Now, if I'm in a class situation and this happens to me regularly, and where in terms of I'm in a presentation situation, and occasionally this experience will happen where someone, and sometimes it's because they're just so passionate about what we're talking about, right? They want to contribute. They're so feeling what you're saying and what they've learned. And really from their mindset, they're like, I feel like I'm contributing. So I don't want them to ever feel diminished for their contribution. But a lot of it in presentation is how you all set it up from the beginning. And so if I'm you leading a class, I'm going to say something out of the gate, like, I'm so thrilled you came out tonight. Looking forward to getting to know you a little bit more and sharing with you the power of natural solutions. Now, this topic, we could be here for 6 or 7 hours. We're not going to be. Clearly, we have a limited amount of time. So I know that some of the things we're tempted to want to maybe share in more detail, I'd love to have a deeper conversation with you. And perhaps if needs be, we can set that up. But I'm thrilled where we're going tonight. And to get us out of here on time, you know, some of that or some kind of guidance to just invite them, to let them know, like, hey, there might be additional things we want to share and so forth. And there'll be different points that I'll ask for your feedback. If you really want to utilize that, you could, right? Like for me, if I'm on a one-on-one consultation or I'm with a class, I'm going to give them kind of that, what we call chalking the field. I'm going to outline the guidance of where we're going to go and just give them as like a skeleton. For me, it's not this hard, fast line, is I do want their engagement, right? You want engagement in a class, you guys, because engagement leads to conversion. So we want to encourage dialogue, but I understand potentially where this can go, where it's like, let me tell you my whole life story, and then we move on to the next point. Let me tell you my whole life story about that point. And I get that is just to say, and for me, how I've redirected a class is, thank you so much for sharing. Really appreciate that. In terms of keeping us on track for tonight, I'm going to need to move on to the next point. But if you'd like to discuss that further, let's set up a time to do so. You know, and again, more importantly, it's not the words, it's the energy of how I handle that. So if my energy on the inside is being really triggered and I'm really feeling bothered about that, it will come through. So I want to be really aware that, like, energetically, I just allow it to flow like the river. If someone wants, great, thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, Andy and I have had to do that in certain training situations before where, you know, someone's passionately going on or sharing certain things and so forth. And we go, oh, okay. How about, thank you so much for sharing that. Due to our time that we have today, we're going to need to move on to the next topic. But if it's something you'd like more support around or like to talk further, we could do that. So this is something, again, I don't know if there's a perfect right answer. I do know what matters, what is the core between both personal and business, because they're both relationships, is the intention and the energy we meet them with. So if, to Andy's point, if someone comes at you with a lot of energy or the talking over, we don't want to talk over them, like that's not necessarily going to work. But it's just learning that, okay, I still want to navigate it in a way that is effective for sure. So I think you can say some of those things. You acknowledge and then redirect. Acknowledge and then redirect.
We've got some audio in the archives too, if we need to pull that out. Just, you know, a little demonstration of how to rein that in.
He and I have a side joke, but it's true. We have had experiences of having to rein in conversations. That's true.
Natalie was actually teaching a class recently where she was talking about toxicity and managing toxic load, and literally a woman could not shut up pitching her own product of some water filtering system. And it was so awesome to watch Natalie just be like, yeah, toxicity is so important. And like she acknowledged her and she gave validation to her and she reined it back in. So we get to steer the ship. So love, love, love it.
So how else can we support y'all today? Anything else that's percolating, or do we have any other comments on our Facebook Live that are ready to be addressed?
Here's a question in the Q&A. So Athena says, procrastination driven by overwhelm and theoretical perfectionism, help. Tiff, any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I think a lot of that too. Athena, big shout out to you, sister. So she posted that in our coaching group too. For this morning. So I'm excited to hear, and we're going to talk through that as well there. But I think a lot of it, of course, begins in the mindset, like perfectionism or procrastination. A lot of them have to do with how you're framing, right? Like something I loved, loved, loved that Andy shared months ago is that we observe experience and then we interpret it, right? Is that we're observing and then interpretation of. And so being aware of, first and foremost, not continuing to tell the story around perfectionism or around procrastination, is you can acknowledge and observe it. But sometimes we say, oh, see, I'm just stuck in this and I'm stuck in this and I'm stuck in this, keeps us stuck in it, right? Versus saying, oh, okay, I'm aware of this is up, is mentally choosing. And as we've been talking about, she's in my Success Academy program this season. And we're talking this week about time management and time blocking and effectiveness and so forth. And so I think a lot of that does require you, love, to come back to the prioritization conversation, is what priorities have you chosen? Is overwhelm does often lead to procrastination. Overwhelm can just be either a mental state, like we're living not in the present, we're thinking about all the things over the next 6 weeks or the next 6 months that we must, you know, all the things, and we're out of the present moment of today. And or we've overcommitted ourselves, right? For sure. Like we can definitely feel overwhelmed, and there's times we do. It's just the awareness that it's allowing yourself to just remake the decision. You're just up against the old pattern, which is, okay, I'm going to make progress here. And I would ask myself every time I hit perfectionism or every time I hit overwhelm, I'm going to come to the question of what's a simple step I can take today, right? What's my simple step or my next step? Just my next step, right? I loved hearing Oprah Winfrey share that when she was here live in Salt Lake City, is you don't have to know everything. It's just knowing what's my next step. But back to your question kind of has tentacles where it can go a few directions. If you want to come on live, feel free to, sis, and we can talk through that. But it's looking at the conversation from, it's one of a few things. One, it's how you're mentally interpreting the experience, and therefore it's making you or deriving a feeling, and then that feeling is likely keeping you in low vibration or feeling stuck or whatnot. So it's either that experience, or you might need to make some decisions that certain priorities, what are your top priorities for this season of your life? And then really honor those versus saying, I'm going to try to do all the things all at the same time. And then some of it is simply, as we've talked about together in a separate space as well, as we've talked about, that when we're on the cusp of growth, as much as you want to grow, there's also fear in growing. And so it's being aware that you say, okay, it's just maybe some of your own self-soothing affirmations. Like, I allow myself to succeed. I allow myself to grow. I'm safe. I'm protected. I'm right on time. All is well. But I don't know. There's a few different directions we can go with this. And if you want to pop in live, join us live, and let's just clarify which aspect of this is showing up for you.
Okay, it looks like Athena's on live.
Okay, hi there.
Welcome, friend.
Welcome. Hey, it's good to see you all. I love the service you do for us every week. This is amazing. And I'm really growing through Tiffany's Success Academy. Highly recommend it for everybody. Invest in yourself. So I did pose it here, Tiffany, because I wasn't, you know, I think this is probably, you know, I'm sure I'm not the only one, but I guess I'm getting clarity about what drives my procrastination, whereas always in the past, I just was aware of the procrastination, but not what's driving it. And I think for me, the overwhelm part comes from just having too much on my plate. And I think it's hard. I haven't mastered the skill yet of how to prioritize, you know, what's really important and how to balance, you know, personal, family, business, you know, all the different things. And so I know I'll be learning that with you. But I'm sure that other people who are, you know, entrepreneurs for the first time, who haven't had a business background before and are trying to learn all the ropes of running a business as well as being stay-at-home moms or being working moms, you know, I don't think some of what I'm feeling is unique to me. I think it's probably something that other people will benefit from by kind of working it through here. So that's why I thought I'd raise it in this group.
No, thank you, because it is so common, right? We can all relate. And I've referred to this material a lot that actually Andy and Natalie introduced me to, is the book Essentialism by Greg McKeown. I know I have reinforced that many times. So for all of you as a general resource of how do I make these decisions? And here's the thing is that a lot of us, we don't want to choose, right? I mean, Athena, we know this, and we talked about this heavily on Monday, is we don't want to choose. We believe, like we have this teaching that's out in the universe now that says you can have anything you want. And while there's truth to that, is sometimes we're thinking, but can you necessarily have everything you want or desire all at the same time? I don't believe so. And that's not being negative, and that's not being like lack mindset or scarcity mindset, is that sometimes we're thinking, hey, I want to train for an Ironman or a marathon, right? Like I had two girlfriends run a marathon last weekend. And the time they've had to put in. And that means they've had to say no to some social gatherings. They've had to, you know, prioritize because they're choosing to have to put in their running time. They had chosen that for this season of their life. But sometimes we're thinking, I want to train for a marathon. And then I want to eat healthy organic food. And I got to grow my own food in my garden in my backyard. And I want to have family dinner on the table every night, made from scratch at 6 p.m. And I want to be on three different charity boards that I've been invited and girlfriends, you know, book club and serve a calling or assignment in my church. And I definitely need to do my self-care. Oh, and yes, I want to build a 6- and 7-figure business. I mean, just saying all those things, you're like, really? So sometimes here's the thing, we don't want to choose, but if you want success and breakthrough, you must choose. Mm-hmm. You must choose. Yes. It. And saying for, and again, as the reframe we talked about on Monday, is for this season of my life, this is a great question for all of you to consider, for this season of my life, what am I all in for, right? And that's part of a reframe from Greg's material and essentialism. That's the name of the book, Essentialism, Karen. Is he's saying is a lot of times we think the thought, we don't want to think the thought, what do I have to give up? Like, we don't want to give up anything, but reframe it to say, what am I all in for? And my Tiffany Petersonism is to say, for this season of my life, what am I all in for? And it's realizing that. So it's being able to make those choices. But here's the thing where I think we get in the most trouble, and this is a general statement, I'm not saying this is yours always, but we are social creatures and we love to be included. We love to be connected. Even if we don't want to show up at the thing we've been invited to, but we want to be included in all the things. And so, aw, cute little kitty. So sometimes, yes, you're going to amen. That was the cat saying, amen.
Saying, put me down.
Yeah, no, but what I'm saying is a lot of times is we have to choose, and we're the fear of missing out or not being connected. It's just knowing, and similar, Covey has some great teachings too, as he says, when you're so clear on your priorities, it makes it easier to say no. It's just as important to what y'all are saying yes to. You got to be clear. if you know your solid priorities, then it makes it easy to say no. Like last week, I was approached by two different startup network marketing companies, two different companies, and they're saying, hey, we want to explore hiring you to, you know, roll out and develop our whole training systems. And I have done that for other network marketing companies. And I love it. But right now in this season of my life, with what else I'm committed to, it's not a fit. But it felt nice. Like you have to be aware, like, oh, I want to go to all the book clubs. I want to go to all the social things. I want to do all the things I want to. And then, but not knowing, like, here's my core purpose and my core plans. Although that was so exciting, you know, it's always nice to be asked. It's, that was a no. And I politely turned them down.
Tiffany?
So, yeah.
Sorry, can I interrupt politely? I just wanted to say that for me, I feel like it's other people's priorities kind of override mine. And I think that's more in the family dynamic.
Yeah.
That I'm having a hard time with. And I have stepped up and like kind of, I'm telling my family, you guys have to step up. I can't do everything for everyone and fix everything for everyone. But I think a lot of us as moms, especially, we have kind of created the situation where, you know, we're everybody else's solution provider, and we're not really creating that space for ourselves to be able to follow what we want as our priorities. So there's the taxes, there's the bills, there's the my daughter's insurance issue, but there's the this, the that, the other. And next thing you know, my to-do list before I've even put my stuff on is already full. And so it's a struggle for me because everything feels like, and this is probably not, this isn't the right language, I should be using positive language, but it feels like, you know, I'm always crisis managing. And so I don't want to live in that world anymore. I want to live in the world of everything works out for me. And also I am, I have an abundant amount of time for everything that I need to, that I choose to accomplish, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, so what do I do with that?
Yeah, so some of it is just you sitting with the discomfort of your fear of disappointing other people.
Mm. Yeah.
And you're retraining them how to show up, and that will be a season. It won't always maybe feel that way, but if you're choosing to reshape the culture that you've created, right? And it feels great to feel wanted and needed. That's why I was modeling for you about the experience in business for me last week. We love to feel wanted as humans. We're social creatures. And as a mom and with your kids, and you want to show up for them, but maybe you've done way too much and it's time to help them develop some of their own wings, but you will go through a season of repatterning for them. And some of that's just you, you know, breathing through the discomfort. Because again, it's like, well, I want to be superwoman and I want them all to love me and like me and be at peace with me. So instead of doing my things, I'm going to do all their things so I can keep the peace. And so your discomfort of disappointing someone sounds like potentially something to consider looking at. Mm-hmm.
That's fair. Yeah, it's, but I'm just really happy that at least I'm getting the awareness of where the procrastination is coming from and where the, and you know, this last week and this week chunking down the ideas of, you know, what I want and how to manage my time and all that, I know will help me get past the overwhelm. And then obviously it's progress, not perfection. So, you know, I feel like I'm going in the right direction, but I just wasn't sure if there was anything else I was missing in the, you know, what I can do as far as some strategies, you know, to kind of put the brakes on when, you know, I'm feeling like everybody's kind of giving me all their stuff, you know.
You know, you're growing, love. So just be gentle with yourself. One of your great strengths, but it also, it gets you in trouble, is your commitment to grow. And so it's so great that you're committed to growing, but it's like, that's a process. And you are going to have different feelings and you are going to have different things that come up. The other thought that I just want to introduce you that popped into my intuition when you first started sharing a few minutes ago is, something my mentor would teach me is he would say, understanding the why is the booby prize. And what he meant by that is understanding why you procrastinate. Like that would be nice. And maybe you can write a thesis on it if you were a researcher. Mm-hmm. But it's still coming back to is what new behaviors, right? When we're saying, what would I rather respond is when you catch yourself procrastinating, just checking back in with yourself. Okay, love, what's going on? What would you rather do? All right, what's the simple next step you could take? And you repattern that when you feel the fear or that feel the resistance of procrastination come on, is that rather than having to, you know, rather than reinforcing it, is reinforce the new habit that you'd rather see, which is I want to take more action.
I love it.
Back on that. So I think that to me was is always so helpful. Is as humans, we love to know the why, but a lot of times, and there's nothing wrong with looking at the why, because the why might give us data and insight to future choices, but ultimately we still need to make the new decision of why we're doing what we're doing.
Thank you so much. I realize I won't grow if I don't kind of overcome this hurdle, because I want to be expansive and I need to learn how to do it in a healthy way. And, you know, so thank you so much, both of you.
Andy, I'd love for you to weigh in on this too, before we wrap up for the day, if you'll just wrap, you know, weigh in and then we can wrap up for the day, but your thoughts to this conversation.
Just a huge amen. Totally feeling everything you said. Great, great share.
Thanks everybody.
Yeah. Thank you for that. A lot of you can relate to that. We all can. It's like, oh, and we do, we want to do lots of things, and that's a good thing. And we want to support lots of people, and we have to also make decisions with our time and our priorities. So it's a process. Be kind to yourselves as you navigate it.
Amen. Hey, I had somebody ask if we can do closed captioning, and I found out that we can. So I've enabled that on my Zoom account. So excited to be able to serve in that way in the future. But you want to take us home, Tiff?
Oh, goodness. Okay, let me bring us home. Where are we going? I think we're going from where we started and Andy's point to that something that doesn't have the potential to hurt us can't help us. That was like a freaking mic drop, truth bomb moment. I said mic bomb.
We blew up the mic.
It's both truth bomb and mic drop at the same time, just met and merged. So that you got a mic bomb, everybody. Oh, I love it. But truly, it's just being aware that part of growth is be gentle with yourselves in the growth process, right? Like what Athena's modeling and what others, all of you, what, you know, Susan and the different shares, you guys, it's just, it's knowing that, but it's keeping your vision to say, yeah, what's my why? Come back to your intention, come back to your why, is that you can work through, I think we can work through any pain with a strong enough purpose. There's my mic bomb for the wrap up.
I love it.
You can work through any pain with a strong enough purpose is just being aware how that will come up, that you are in the process and we're excited to see you grow. We'll be back here next Wednesday. We'd love to have you with us. We love being part of this experience with you and in your journey. Have a great rest of your day and welcome to May. We're excited to see you grow this month.
Thanks for joining us. Have a great week.